For a half a million years, people have been cooking with over wood fires. And we cook over a wood fire throughout the world. Everyone does it. You know, we're getting back to basics.
Yep, getting back to basics, yeah. and using what we have on the land to...
Fire and food.
To provide?
Yeah, just fire and food.
For millennia, man has used an open flame to cook food. But in the modern era, cooking that way can be costly, inefficient, and dangerous. And I'm pretty sure it would really upset your landlord. But now, all of that has changed because one man created a new invention which helps open flame reclaim its throne at the backyard barbecue.
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today, we're headed to the home of Georgia College and State University and Georgia Military College, Milledgeville, in Middle Georgia. And we're here to visit Comfort Farms. Now, bear with me for just a minute. I want to tell you about some of the amazing work that is happening here. Comfort Farms was founded by veteran John Jackson, and it's the first project of his nonprofit, Stag Vets. Heirloom vegetables like tomatoes and greens are grown here. There's also turkeys, hogs, hens, rabbits, llama, and even fish. With the added goal of helping veterans get back on their feet, the Stag Vets' mission is to, quote, promote a structured, holistic approach for displaced veterans suffering from PTSD and other invisible disabilities, aiding their reintegration into family, society, and economy, unquote. On Comfort Farms, agriculture and caring for veterans go hand in hand. John Jackson has traveled the world learning about long-forgotten fruits and veggies. He has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to agriculture, and as I quickly learned, he is a master at cooking with fire.
This is a ribeye. We kind of do it the same way as we do our pork chop. Keep that bone on there and that fat, that belly fat that's on there. That's like, people fight over this stuff, yeah.
We're going to hear a lot more from John in a bit, but first, let's get a look at what he's using to cook with today.
For a half a million years, people have been cooking with over wood fires. And we cook over a wood fire throughout the world. Everyone does it.
That's the voice of Ray Palermo. He's the owner of I Cook With Fire, the brand behind his popular invention, the Quad Grill. Ray's fascination with cooking over open fire is something he shares with our earliest ancestors.
The name of my company is I Cook With Fire. We produce a grill called the Quad Grill. It's naturally fired, and it's a live fire grill. Live fire means the fire is open, sometimes referred to as an open fire grill, as opposed to some of the grills which operate as ovens. So in other words, the flame is going to kiss the product that we're cooking. The grill is an invention of mine, and it came from the fact that I was fascinated by cooking over open fire and have been for years and years and years. It came to a head when I purchased a paella pan. Paella was a peasant dish that was cooked over a live fire by the farmers in Spain. And they used pretty much whatever they had and added rice as a filler to it. Sometimes they used rabbit, sometimes they used chicken. The authentic paella is a rabbit-chicken combination with rice. When it gets closer to the coast, they use seafoods and that kind of thing. Oftentimes, snails are put in it, but the authentic Valenciana paella is rabbit and chicken and rice. It is cooked over an open fire, actually in the fields with fresh vegetables and freshly killed meats.
When Ray tried to make paella at home, he found something was missing.
I buy this paella pan and I take it home and come to realize that it needs a big open fire flame to cook something on. So I went in the garage and I created one. This is about the 10th iteration of the grill. We started with a old wok and built legs for it, and then we went to one that was using a cementitious product called AAC, And then we went to a different version that also used the cementitious product. But we finally got to the point where we made this out of metal.
Necessity is the mother of invention. Ray wanted a grill that had the cooking power of an open flame, but was also safe to travel with.
And we're putting it here on a wood table where we can cook. And you
exactly.
got a 900 degree fire 1 inch from the wood.
That's true. This grill is highly insulative, so you can put it on a wood table. You can put it on top of I actually cook on plastic tables quite often, and it works just fine. It's small enough that you can carry it with you, take it to the beach, put it in the back of your motorhome, do that kind of thing. But at the same time,
when Ray saw how well his prototype worked, he continued developing it for a commercial market. He then realized there wasn't anything like the quad grill currently available in stores.
We recognized pretty early on that there was some characteristics of this that made it very different than everything else that was on the market. We patented the product. We now have 4 patents on this particular grill. The characteristics that make it different is the fact that it is aspirated from the corners through venturis, which amplify the airflow, making the fire very, very hot.
Four corners.
Yeah. Hence the name quad. It is also square, hence the name quad. And it also cooks with 4 different cooking styles, hence the name quad.
4 is the magic number, but fire is what makes it all possible.
But the real key to it is a very hot fire fueled by natural products, either charcoal or wood. So it's naturally fired and it's open flame. So we want the taste of that open flame on our food product that we're cooking. We want that smoke to be in the product. The wood is, we look at the wood or the charcoal as the original ingredient in cooking. We recognized after we cooked this perfect paella with our new paella pan that it would be great for cooking other things like steaks, like chicken, like seafood. It comes out fantastic over an open fire. It's just fantastic taste. The other thing that makes it much different is this carbon steel cook surface. This carbon steel cook surface is laser cut and then it's case hardened. And there's 50% open area to 50% surface area, which means that you're getting the sear of the cook surface and you're getting the flame kissed from the fire through the open area. So 50% surface area, 50% open area.
Like everything we talk about on A Fork in the Road, the quad grill was developed and manufactured right here in the Peach State. But its popularity has reached worldwide.
We created it here in Georgia. It's manufactured here in Georgia, unlike probably 95% of the grills that are out on the market today. We make it right here in Georgia. So far, we're just a little kind of a home-based business, and we've sold this grill in 38 different states and 6 countries. So, kind of surprising that people all over the world have actually, bought the product.
Now that we've learned about the quad grill, let's get back with John Jackson and take a peek at what we're cooking today.
All right, man, we got a Comfort Farms rabbit. Pulled the hams off, looking beautiful. I just kind of chopped this up. We're gonna be making a kind of a traditional style Spanish paella with a...
Paella Valenciana.
Okay.
Paella Valenciana.
Paella, we're making a paella Valenciana. All right, there you go. Our proteins are gonna be rabbit, and then we have another beautiful guinea fowl that we're going to use in place of chicken.
Now, you may not have had guinea fowl before or even heard of it. This bird from West Africa is eaten all over the world. It's roasted, spatchcocked, added to stews and gumbo, and a crucial part of today's dish, traditional Spanish paella.
The Guinea came over with the enslaved Africans as their food. One of the most, I'm going to say, the most delicious bird on the farm. Dark meat. This bird is by far, it renders really, really beautiful. What's interesting about the guinea fowl is that these birds haven't been adulterated by breeding. They've just been bred from thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. These are the same genetics that have been running throughout the African bush and providing sustenance to Africans for centuries. And they taste wonderful. So they're not watered down, but a beautiful bird. Looking forward to putting in the paella with the rabbit and have a go at it.
And that meat, I mean, those drumsticks, that's a different color.
Yes, very different.
That's fascinating.
Very, very different. But super, super succulent meat. Very nutritious. It makes some of the best stews that you can have. Because as you see, I'm going to pull this meat apart. That's beautiful. Beautiful, and that's super tender, and it's going to be extremely flavorful. Most people in the South think that these birds are just tick eaters and that they're not good for food, but these are excellent for food. My restaurants that I work with absolutely love guinea fowl anytime we have them available.
You may have way too much meat here, John.
There's no such thing.
For this meal, John grew the ingredients here on Comfort Farms, and Ray invented the grill being used to cook them. Now that's what I call team effort.
You know, we're getting back to basics.
Yep, getting back to basics, yeah. and using what we have on the land to...
Fire and food.
To provide?
Not, yeah, just fire and food. Okay, yeah. Well, we've got this bone-on ribeye, commonly known as the Kansas City ribeye, that John has grown here.
This is Eatonton Dairy Cow.
So it's very tasty. Got a lot of flavor.
You'll never find flavor like this in any of your Angus or anything like that, because they don't allow them to grow past 18, 24 months. So these cows are on the ground 4 to 6 years. Mama cows are given milk. They're given all these things. And then what we do with the farm is we kind of fatten them up. And we bring them down and we use them as a dairy product, as a dairy beef product.
While this paella comes together, Ray ran down some other items you can cook on the quad grill.
We use it for pizza. I've cooked spatchcock chickens, mm-hmm. where it's the whole chicken. And I'll put the top on it to finish the chicken. So I get a nice char on it, put it bone side down, and then put the top on it, and it'll finish the chicken just, you know, very, very well, because the it's basically smothering the fire when you put the top on it. So it's toning the fire down. We've got some green onions that we're grilling at the same time. And I think we're gonna take these green onions and these beautiful peppers, and we're gonna make a little salsa for it after we get this thing done. These are shishito peppers, and we torched them just a little bit just to get a nice little char on them. Check this ribeye out. Whoa, look at this baby. Isn't that beautiful? The grill surface right here is probably right at 1,000 degrees at the grill surface.
Being able to cook on any surface safely is one of the main benefits of the quad grill.
First thing, hands down, is to be able to bring fire to surfaces that would ordinarily just burn. When you're doing catering and you know that's the limiting factor, you know, we pull our big grills, we do a lot of things, and sometimes I don't have the ability to do all that. These guys are mobile. We can bring them anywhere, put them on a surface like this wooden surface, and we're not worried about burning the place down with that. Then the ability to get a really hot fire, you know, and, you know, being a pit master is all about working with your fire, working with your flame, you know, and so it's good as we work with this around and get a really good sear on our steaks and our pork chops.
Oh, smell that, John.
Yeah, I smell it, man. I smell it.
Gosh, it smells good.
While this paella cooks, I got to sample some more freshly cooked meats. You know, I honestly do a lot of eating and drinking on this show. I love my job.
Not all steak, not all pork chops are the same. It's because of our pigs, the way they're raised. They're running around the forest. They're doing things. They have red meat, original red meat, not this white meat business that they talk about in the commercial industry. So true pork, this is how true pork is. It's a red meat. It's red. 145, it's a medium. So they will still retain that red color within the meat. And just a phenomenal product, you know, all day. When you have animals running on the ground, they're your pigs are producing a lot of hemoglobin, right? And so you got to treat it like...
Keep cutting. Let's go. Cut some more.
You got to treat it like a steak, man.
That might be the best pork chop I've ever had. I've had a lot of pork chop.
No, John, seriously, yes. Hands down, it's the best. And I've eaten a lot of pork.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I love that.
Is the best pork I've ever eaten.
Now that we've gotten a taste of John's heavenly pork chops raised right here on Comfort Farms, let's see how that paella is looking.
Notice that this is bubbling evenly over the whole surface of the thing, which is critical when you're doing a paella, because otherwise it'd burn in the middle. But you see how it's boiling all over, the same level.
You're getting air from all four sides.
Right.
It's a nice
heat. So you've got a very even heat, and that heat is being distributed by the gridiron, that carbon steel gridiron, over the whole bottom of the pan. For paella, you need to use bamba rice. It absorbs all of the flavors very well, and it's a real short grain rice. Very, like little bombs, hence bamba.
How long does the rice go for once it's in?
As long as it takes. We want to cook the rice just slightly al dente.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to dry up all of the liquid.
Mm-hmm.
And then what'll happen is the rice will crust on the bottom of the pan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a delicious part of it, and it's called socrato. That's the crusted rice on the bottom of the pan.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wrap it too.
Same thing. I want to just kind of make sure that we can bring it up just a little bit more.
When all was said and done, I got my fill of an incredible Spanish dish featuring an African bird raised right here in Georgia, cooked on an original invention by a Georgian like you and I. I've got to say it again. I love my job. I had a great day on Comfort Farms with John and Ray, and so did my taste buds for that matter. You know, it just goes to show you that to make excellent cuisine, all you need is fire and food.
Home run, John. Home run.
Thank you.
Here you go.
Awesome, man. Oh, yeah. Amen, man.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.